All right, welcome everyone. It's Sunday afternoon. This is Cancel the Koala on Revolution Radio. I'm Stephen Roberts. Today I've got a very special friend. I've never met this fella, but I've kind of virtually known him for about 6 or 7 months now. He was in a former network. I'm still in the other network, but he isn't. He's Australian. He's from Australia, but he's in America here. He's a researcher, a bit of a scientist. I'm not really sure much about him. I'm going to get to know a little bit more about him once I bring him up, but I want to bring up Cultus Negran. Welcome to the show, Cultus.
Cheers, mate.
How are you?
Oh, you know, getting along, mate. Getting along.
Yeah, yeah. I never did get a bio from you. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself first?
Okay. Well, I'm an alternative / free energy researcher and have been now for many years. I work alongside Shaziz and Dyden and a few other well-known YouTube researchers. Basically, what we are trying to do is to come up with a device which will provide free energy to the world and give that away to the world. That's a short bio of me, I guess.
So it's not so much about, well, I was hoping to maybe hear about your life in Australia, but that's not so much about making money in the alternative energy, is it?
Well, no, that's exactly right. I have to be very clear, we're not in it to make money. That's not what we're here for. We want a better world for our children and our children's children, and, you know, we are quite aware of the fact that we're probably never going to see the rewards of our effort in its fullest extent, but we hope to be the ones who basically kickstart the plan into action, you know. We've never been involved in this for the money or the notoriety. It's always been sort of a joint effort to just come up with a device based on Nikola Tesla's research back in the 1800s, and provide a device which will basically harness the static energy in the universe and supply limitless free energy to the world and its people. And we intend to do that just completely free sourcing it. As soon as we can make a replicatable device, is to basically span the internet with the plans for that device and the struggle for power.
Well, certainly. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Nikola Tesla also had the same thoughts in his head too. He was going to bring free energy to the world, wasn't he?
Exactly. That was Nikola Tesla's dream, was to bring electricity to the darkest, deepest regions of the earth and do it wirelessly, so that there was no need for some huge infrastructure of wire and telegraph poles to transport that energy. It would just be a case of building a tower with a coil in it, and basically the same as how your radio tunes into a radio station. They transmit on a particular frequency, and you're able to tune into that same frequency on your radio. Well, Nikola Tesla's idea was to harness the energy that coexists in the universe and transmit that through something very similar to a radio system, and just have a coil on the other side of the world that could tune into that energy and then power devices. So you could just imagine what we could achieve in places like Ethiopia in Africa if we had access to something like that.
Oh yes, yes, most certainly. Do you know if the story is true, him talking to the billionaire banker J.P. Morgan and their conversation, something about the power meter? Do you know if that story is true?
Okay. There is a little bit of a misconception in that story, but the bulk of the story is true. So the story goes that J.P. Morgan, the banker, was backing Tesla financially to build a tower by the name of, or project by the name of Wardenclyffe. And he basically at that stage had discovered exactly how to harness the energy that is the vibrations of the universe that create you and me and, you know, everything that exists in this world is just a vibration, a specific frequency or a group of frequencies that from whether you're looking at light or solid objects. And Tesla came up with this tower and wanted to build it, and halfway through construction mentioned to JP Morgan that this tower would be able to provide free limitless power to the entire world. And JP Morgan then turned around and said, no, look, if I can't put a meter on it, I'm not backing you any longer. And he did actually at that point begin to pull away from Tesla and cut Tesla's funding. But later on, Tesla came up with a way of metering it, though JP Morgan, having been the person that he was, had done his homework and figured that that would only stop the honest people who wanted to still pay JP Morgan. Because basically you would be able to go out, manufacture a coil that resonated with the tower and just go plug it in your backyard and use it. So there was no guaranteed way of making sure that it needed to be metered. Whereas the wired electrical system that we've got at the moment, you have to have access to those wires. You have to, have it running into your house. And then there's, that one wire that they can get their little, they've got a little pen. Basically, it's a device that'll map out where the wires are in your wall, and they can see if you've bypassed your meter, and they can look at your meter and see if you've drilled a hole through the glass and stuck a pin in there during the month to hold the meter back and stop it from spinning and things like that. So there was a definite move to stop Wardenclyffe in its tracks because it could provide free, limitless power to the world. Even though Tesla had come up with a plan to meter it, that really wouldn't have stopped anyone once they realized that, if you were told that all you had to do was make a coil and plug it into the ground outside and you could have free limitless energy, or you could get JP Morgan to hook it up for you and pay him for it, which would you prefer?
Exactly.
Go to the
hardware store and start buying the material.
Exactly. Yeah. So there was no real... There was no real way around it at the end of the day, and JP Morgan knew that, so he still went ahead and said, no, there's no way. And then he continued to basically play Tesla out to be a madman, and,
Edison did too, didn't he?
Edison was a frustrated man. Edison more had a problem with not wanting to admit that he had been wrong in several circumstances with research. It all began with DC electricity, right in the very beginning. America had DC power, not AC power, which you have today. So you had direct current, and direct current required, say, every 5 or 6 miles down the road to have another power station put in. Because the transmission distances the distance you can transmit, direct current are actually very short. And it's funny, I'll go into something a little bit more later on that'll kind of throw that out a bit. But as it was known at the time, DC current didn't flow very far at any given time. So you might have, a 10-mile radius where you're able to power homes and everything from a centralized power station. But then to get outside that, you have to build another power station. Whereas with AC electricity, you can transmit it hundreds, thousands of kilometers, the metric Australian coming out of me there.
Sure.
But hundreds, if not thousands of miles at a time, before you start seeing any mass losses. And then if you transmit it in a higher voltage, you're able to step it back down to usable voltage. And, the higher the voltage, the further the travel you can get it. So, Tesla was the one who discovered AC electricity, whereas Edison discovered DC electricity, and Edison was basically set to lose a lot of money because his power system wasn't going to get used, and at every given opportunity, he tried to take down Tesla to the point where where Edison was like electrocuting elephants and dogs in the street, doing shows for people, trying to show them how dangerous AC electricity was, but yeah, he was basically just a frustrated man who didn't want to admit that his invention could be superseded by another man's invention.
Sure.
Which is science at its greatest this day and age. as you know, we have our own radio show on a Saturday and a Sunday. We have Mad Science on a Saturday and Knights of the Roundtable on the Sunday. And we've discussed it many times, you know, even as far as, and I know this is a bit out there, but from a scientific perspective, I love pointing out God as a good scientific example, because to be a true scientist, until I can hold a tangible answer and tangible proof in my hand, I have to remain agnostic. I can't say that there is, and I can't say that there isn't a God, because I can't provably through actual physical evidence show you whether there is or isn't.
Certainly. I understand that, what you're saying.
Yeah, that goes with everything in science, you know, and the biggest problem that scientists have is being able to let go of their ideals and be scientific, actually looking at a problem and saying, right, well, I might have worked for 30 years on my thesis and said this about gravity, but you're right. Actually, I do feel a big weight on my shoulders all the time, not under my armpits. So maybe gravity is something that pushes down, not pulls down.
Oh, most certainly.
Do you follow that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
That's an interesting concept, isn't it?
It is.
I come up with that one myself. But it's an interesting thought, isn't it? If you sit there and think about it right now, is there something pulling up under your armpits, like forcing, you know, is there like something pulling down on your armpits rather, or is there something pushing down on the top of your shoulders? You know, gravity, we believe, pulls us down to Earth, but does it?
Yeah.
I feel a weight on top of my shoulders. I don't know about you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel it on top of my shoulders. So I think that something's pushing me down.
Sure.
But as far as all science goes, you know, it's something that pulls you to Earth. But I'm sure that they don't want to have to rewrite the history books yet again, you know?
Absolutely. You happened to mention just a few minutes ago about radio waves. I was actually in the ham radio world for a few years. I do know about how FM, radio waves transmit and how they can transmit all over the world.
Yep.
Skipping off the ionosphere when conditions are right. There isn't any type of correlation with transmitting this energy as far as using the ionosphere, is there, all over the world?
There's two theories that lie with how Tesla transmitted the energy. One was bouncing it off the ionosphere.
Okay.
And the other was actually using what is referred to as the telluric currents of the Earth. And telluric currents of the Earth is back to the vibrations of the universe. It's what is the Earth. All right? There is always a constant current running through the Earth. And some believe, and I have to admit that I'm one of them, some believe that these currents, you can actually imagine taking your garden hose and spraying it into a river, a raging river.
Right.
Now, you can only get X amount of energy coming out the end of your garden hose, but when it matches up with the energy in the river, then those water droplets that you have put into the river shoot off down the river really fast.
Certainly, it's going to add to the mass of the
river. Whereas, though, in this case, it's not as easy as just tipping water in. You've actually got to match its resonant frequency, because otherwise, it doesn't coexist on the same existence as the vibrations of the Earth.
Okay.
If you follow.
Sure. I understand that. Yeah.
I mean, we did the math and we worked out that it would take a length of wire that is the diameter of the Earth to make a coil which would resonate at the same frequency as the Earth.
Wow.
But as you say, you understand radio a little bit.
25,000 miles
worth of wire. Yeah, a little thin copper wire. Got to turn that onto a big coil. Yeah, not going to happen. Didn't happen in Tesla's day. So that throws a little bit of question onto whether or not it has anything to do with the harmonic frequency of the Earth, what's known as the Schumann resonance of the Earth.
Yeah.
But now, you being a radio man, you would understand fractional wavelengths.
Yes, yes.
So like you can have a quarter wave, a half wave, you can have an eighth wave, you can have a sixteenth of a wave. It's basically,
Or a full wave, yes.
Or a full wave. So if we're saying, you know, 10 hertz, for example, which is 10 pulses a second.
Right.
Our half wave would be 5 hertz. Our quarter wave would be 2.5 hertz.
Right.
And so on down the line. So what I'm theorizing is that he obviously wasn't going for the 7.8 hertz that is the Schumann resonance, because that's just a phenomenally ridiculous amount of wire and coil. No man back in that day was going to make that coil. Not to mention, where were you going to put it, especially in the size of a tower like Wardenclyffe? There's not enough room. So a fractional wavelength seems the most plausible for that. And also thinking about it, if we are, and we do believe that that's what he did, if you were tapping into the harmonic frequency, the energy that is the universe, do you want all of that at once? Do you want the strongest signal you can get to that? I'm tipping you probably don't, because the amount of energy that's going to come through that would just be ridiculously phenomenal. We're talking more energy release than splitting an atom.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So making a coil like that would be pretty crazy.
Sure. But
making a fractional, so, you know, 1/300th or something crazy like that, you know?
Certainly. Yeah, I was trying to picture how big that coil of wire would have to be to get 25,000 miles. I think that coil would probably be about the size of Sydney, wouldn't it? Sydney, Australia.
Yeah. Well, you'd be talking, even if you made it one mile in circumference, you're still talking 25,000
rotations.
Coils high.
Rotations,
you know?
That's what I'm saying.
It gets pretty crazy. So, not that it would be impossible to create that coil, but I really don't think you want to make a coil that's at that frequency. I think that would be detrimental. So a fractional wavelength coil would most certainly be the way to go. So that's one of the two theories. The other theory, and the theory I've most recently been working on, as you know, is the static harmonics. So what we've got is we've got a universe that's full of static energy. It's an energy that exists all the time, and just in our sky exists 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's a potential difference between the sky and the earth. And when we say a potential difference, we're referring to a number of electrons, and I'll keep this simple and not overly explain things. So if there's any scholars listening, don't come and yell at me and tell me I explained this wrong, because I want average Joe to understand this. You already do. We'll say that there's 100 electrons up in the sky and there's no electrons on Earth. Well, 50 of those electrons want to come down to Earth and even things out, but they can't. And the reason they can't is because of the air that lays in between. The air is an insulator, as we refer to it, a dielectric. So it's something that doesn't allow electricity or electrons to pass through it. Those electrons can gather on it, but they can't pass through it. Now, the one time that it does break through that dielectric, and a lot of people everyone will be familiar with this time, is during a lightning strike. What happens is all the little particles up in the sky, the rain droplets and just all the different little atoms that are floating around up in the sky, all get violently tossed around inside the storm. And you have a triboelectric effect, which is what creates static electricity. Triboelectric is the same as, you know, rubbing a piece of PVC pipe with a bit of silk cloth or rubbing a balloon on your hair and creating static that you can pick up little pieces of paper with. But it becomes such a huge amount of potential difference that it can actually break its way through that dielectric of the air and strike down on the earth to try and even out the potential difference between the sky and the earth.
Is that cultist?
Yeah.
I got a friend that's been on a few shows here now. This whole show is right up his alley, he said. I'll let Billy explain to you what he's done in the past.
Okay, no worries. G'day, Hi. Billy.
Hi, Billy. Oh, goodness. You got something bad going on there, Billy. Yeah. I don't know.
They don't want him and I talking.
Maybe pull your microphone out and plug it back in. You got some bad static going on there or something.
Check, check.
That's a little bit better, but you're still kind of scratchy and choppy.
Okay, let me call back in. I'll use a different computer.
All right. I'll see you in a minute. Right. Yeah, Billy actually worked on some of the HARP technology.
Okay.
All yep. around the world. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he said this is right up his alley. Some of the things he messaged me and said was something about Shulman resonance effect, resonance effect, quarter wave antenna for the railways, transmission, electric transmission. Well, I'll let him explain all that when he gets back.
Yeah, no
here,
worries. But, that sounds good.
Okay, fellas, you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. A lot better, Billy. A lot better.
I had to go lay on the bed with my computer.
No worries.
Okay. Yeah, welcome to the show again, Billy.
Well, I don't know how to assist you here, but I will tell you this much. The principal theories that you're just talking about are the principal theories that HARP utilized.
Mm-hmm.
And I am one of the people who helped construct HARP, Kona, and 250 other HARP sites around the world.
So you've been up to Exmouth in Australia?
You bet. I've been all over the black area of Australia. So, yeah, I put up the towers there. I took some of the towers down. We took some of the towers from Australia, and we moved them down to, what's the name of that? Ascension Island.
Okay. Yep.
And plus all the BBC equipment that they say is BBC equipment on Ascension Island. But the one of the factors that come into play here is the utilization of railways and electrical transmission systems being tuned to these so-called Earth frequencies.
Yep.
And the resonant length of 7,285 feet being a prerogatory fundamental of a quarter wavelength.
Did you say 7,200?
7,285 yards.
85 yards, not feet.
Which is a proposal. I think that comes out to one the resonant frequency of 12 hertz.
Okay.
But people don't understand that this Shulman effect is a resonant effect of frequencies that correspond to exciting crystals in the earth mantle.
Yep.
It develops a process of energizing a production of electrical energy from a piezoidal effect.
Oh, I was going to say yep.
You and I are on the same book.
We are. I think we need to join forces here.
Well, Stephen will tell you, I've been around. You can Google me up. I'm the real guy. I'm not no phony. I have to suffer because of what I've done and what I know.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back to this. This little shaking that goes on, this piezoidal effect is for one thing, it's a natural effect.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, if you manually shake it, you introduce corresponding waves within the earth that can produce even more effective electrical energy. Same thing goes for into the ionosphere, our atmosphere. Should you be able to ring a path of that length, then you will influence an antenna type subject, true?
Mm-hmm.
If you could ring just a certain space of atmosphere. Well, guess what? When you take radar and you shoot through a cloud, a radar is a pulse of a specific length representing a distance. True?
Correct. Yep.
So when you ring a cloud, should there be metallic objects in that cloud, you have just devised a path of an antenna. True?
Correct.
You're talking about the chemtrailing, aren't you, Billy?
He's going to get there.
Yeah. That's what you're getting to. Yep.
You don't have to. You gentlemen just saw right.
I know what you're getting at now.
I've been doing this a long time. I know where you're going.
Yep.
Well, it's hard for other people to rationalize what's going on around them. You know, they say chemtrails are a poison and everything, which it probably is.
Yeah, but it's probably as poisonous as the toxins that are in your food. But what they're really trying to do with it is give somewhere to bounce or somewhere for those wavelengths to aim for. Like it's you know,
conduct the energy.
Yeah. They need a conductive plate up there. You know, what better way than to see the cloud that's full of aluminum?
Well, and then on top of that, when you look at all these old HAARP sites, they call some ISO heaters. They call some of them plate heaters. They call some of them anode, which is, you know, the big HAARP was the super boost of making a specific frequency that would resonate through an antenna system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've gained into ourselves now the digital age, where if you can devise the antenna, you don't have to have so much power.
Exactly. Yep.
So now they're dropping the skirt on the old analog HAARP, and we do the new system, which is so digitized that they can do all sorts of tricks because they can correspond a selective numerical value that's so infinite of the tools they can do digitally.
Yeah, one of the biggest problems with using static energy to run anything, they say, you know, everyone sort of goes, well, you know, you can't use it to power your refrigerator. No, because a refrigerator is not designed to run on such small amounts of energy. And everything we use today, you just hold your hand over the back of your computer monitor right now and feel that heat coming off the back of it. That's wasted energy. The thing's designed to run and lose energy on the way through. It's not designed to be economical, and it's not designed to run on very small amounts of electricity, yet we can have a little microchip that can run on half a volt. If you've got 1,000,000 volts up in the sky and you step that down, 1,000,000 volts, even at 1 amp, still comes out at 1,000,000 watts at 1 volt.
Well, even at a nano amp, you know?
Yeah.
A semiconductor does not make such viable heat loss that it shows up as any massive output of power. Mm-hmm. It's not needed. That's what the trick is. It is not needed. All that power is what's being wasted.
Exactly.
And we have let the production of people who want to capitalize on selling you that energy run this world.
Yep. There's a very small amount of people. I mean, the energy cartels have pretty much run this world, isn't there? Between them and the pharmaceuticals, they're slowly taking control of everything, and they don't want us to know that this energy exists out there, and they don't want us to be able to obtain it freely. They want to cash in on it. They want to gain, because money is control. So as soon as you have the biggest, you know, the one thing that everybody wants under your control, and you're the one distributing it, you can make them pay whatever you like.
And say, Billy, before we get any further, the reason I brought Cultus on the show today was to try to pitch the idea to anybody listening and any of the audiences, whether it be the station itself or any of the other avenues it's being put forth on. He's only got like 18 or 19 more days on his visa. He has to go back to Australia, I think, within less than 3 weeks, right, Cultus?
Yeah, I've got to leave on the 28th.
Oh, the 28th. Okay, yeah. We would definitely like to keep him here in America, and he wants to stay here in America. He thinks it's the greatest country in the world. I wondered if there was any kind of a connection by either you or anybody in the listening audience might be able to keep him here in America. So that was, or even try to fund some research for him, because he.
I think I know someone who's got the smarts for that. You want me to draw him in?
I don't know if you can draw him in, but I've the one that started the call. Oh, SJ? Okay. I'll bring SJ in. just go ahead and have him mute. I'll give him a message and tell him to mute and bring him in. I gotta find him.
Well, anyways, we'll get on with our conversation.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be.
Maybe he'll. I just spoke to him just a few minutes ago before.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, this is another smart cookie here too, Cultus.
Sweet.
SJ.
But here's something that I've came up over the last few months that's so critical. You know these wind farms that they're putting up all over the place.
Yep.
You know, the big wind turbines turning in the air. These things put off an exorbitant amount of static of the blades turning through the air.
Yeah, yep.
And they wow.
How you doing, SJ?
Well, hello. Good afternoon. What are you up to, boys?
Have you been listening?
No, I was watching a movie about the Irish Catholic versus Protestant battles in Belfast.
Oh, well, Billy wanted to bring you in. I've got a friend.
I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah. I've got Cultus on the show here, Cultus Negrant, and he's a scientist and a researcher. He's researching Tesla technology, and he's only got about 17 more days on his visa, and he has to go back to Australia, and he wants to stay. We was wondering if anybody might be able to help. Anybody.
Where is he now? Currently in the United States?
Yes, he's in Indiana.
Have you talked to immigration?
Yeah, they pretty much can't help me because I'm uneducated, apparently.
Oh, boy. Welcome to the catch-22 of immigration. Have you inquired about Canadian citizenship? Being a Commonwealth country, it might be slightly easier.
No, I hadn't.
I would recommend that. First of all, you certainly, if you were to move to Canada, you could certainly have access to the rest of the lower 48.
Yes, you could. Absolutely.
Is that like unlimited access? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Because at the moment, I've got to go back and forth every 3 months for a minimum of 1 week, and that's kind of a bit breaking on my financial position. I'm actually on a pension in Australia because I suffer what's known as a fibromyalgia.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I mean, I work very hard on my research. You know, I tend to put myself through a little bit of pain to get there. But, you know, I have always just funded this purely off my own back, and coming here was purely funded, you know, through what little means I had. It was actually a Bitcoin donation or a Megacoin donation that sprouted and became very, very nice. But that's, you know, it's only going to last so long. So yeah, I'll look into Canadian citizenship.
Yeah, I'd be glad to, help in terms of, getting to know you, supplying a reference.
Yeah.
We could certainly give you a place to stay occasionally.
Yeah.
But it's certainly available on a temporary basis. But that would help a lot if you're actually going to consider immigrating. It cost me about $400 to get a professional to help me with the last parts of the immigration process. And I could have done it myself. It's not that overwhelming, but it's nice to have somebody that knows all of the ins and outs so you just don't cross off that box accidentally that you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And SJ.
Hey, excuse me.
Sure.
SJ, just in case I get knocked off, you were looking at radar with me earlier.
Right.
And you saw Dodge City, right?
Yes.
You ought to take a look at it now. Just during the period I've been on the program, bang, I'm getting ready to get hit by some fierce, fierce supercells. They just popped up.
How many?
There's four of them in a row from the wind farms all the way straight through here.
So we're talking about basically four hurricanes.
Four tornadoes. Four possible tornado makers.
Tornadoes, right. Tornadoes.
Just popping up out of nowhere, huh?
Yeah.
You ought to see this. Billy's got some amazing images to look at of the radar weather images around him in these wind farms. It's quite interesting. Has he described it for you yet?
No, he hasn't. Wind farms, huh?
Oh, baby. We're talking about these towers that have, I believe they're three-blade wind-driven propellers that have blades that are 90 like, feet long.
Yeah, they're like 200 feet tall. These
yep.
Yeah.
180-foot radius, I believe, is okay. The circle that's the actual props
right.
cover. And it's 20 feet above ground. Yeah, that would make sense. We were talking about the fact that Billy's saying there's no critters, no bugs, no birds, no small animals in that area. And it's a area that has a huge amount of GMO crops being grown adjacent to it. Corn and watermelons, I believe is what you said, right, Billy?
Yeah.
So in total, what do you think? You know, the main thing that struck me is apparently nobody in the area is getting lower electrical rates as a result of these things running next to them. That's what I understand at any rate. Makes you sort of wonder who actually got the bonies for this whole project. And also, as part of the project, it seems that underneath each fan, each prop, in my understanding, is also cedes the property rights, the deep...
Mineral rights.
Yeah, the mineral rights to the owner of the wind farm, I would imagine. And that is apparently foreign ownership, correct, Billy?
That's correct.
And which foreign nationals are promoting this?
90% of them here in Kansas are Chinese.
So that's sort of a very subtle but very powerful direction for the United States to be going on. And I'm thinking nobody would do that in their right mind. So how did that mind get changed? I believe there's quite a bit of corruption involved here. But, you know, corruption is a word that has changed so much in the last 50 years. I don't know if it even resembles the original word in terms of what we accept. Over.
Wow, I got a funnel 4 miles south of here.
Say
so
yes, Jay.
How long is it? Go ahead.
Yeah, Cultus is actually a researcher in the Tesla technology. That's what he's
excellent, excellent.
Yeah, that's why he's here.
Cultus.
Yep.
Do you mind if I ask you a direct question about Tesla technology?
You most certainly can.
Well, at one point, Tesla offered Marie Curie a cure for her radiation poisoning from her early research into, what's the major?
Polio?
No. The major ingredient, the first radioactivity was studied by using uranium. That's what I was looking for. So she was dying of uranium poisoning, and Tesla offered her a cure for that. Do you know at all any other details of that offer, that situation, that technology that he was going to use?
No, I can't for fact know, but I can make a few educated guesses.
Go ahead. Speculation okay. would be fine. I've been trying.
Are you familiar with the Rife machine?
Maybe by another name, or I might have possibly seen it.
Professor Rife, short statured man back in the mid 1900s, developed a machine that would basically target any living organism and could destroy it with high frequency wavelengths. So whether you're talking an ant on the ground or a cancer cell in the body, this could tune in directly to its harmonic frequency, destabilize it, and destroy it. And I'm thinking, straight off the top of my head, if she had radiation sickness, it would have been cancer-based from uranium, and that's most likely what he was offering up to do.
use a Roth device, not
Rife. R-I-F-E. Well, no, it would have been his at the time.
Rife. Dr. Rife, of course I'm familiar
yes.
with him.
Yep.
You got to remember that.
And I'm not talking about the pseudoscience machine that's out on the market currently. Like, don't everyone race out and buy a Rife machine for, what am I looking at here, on the internet for $2,695 and expect it to do something. Basically, it's not going to. What you want to research is Professor Royal Rife, and his device. He could basically, as I say, he was able to harmoniously tune in on a disease of any description and destroy it. And the medical community was all wrapped and happy about this for a short time until all the doctors realized they were going to be out of a job. And subsequently turned around one night and said,
"Put that in the back closet, didn't they?"
Sorry,
I said they put that in the closet, didn't they?
Oh, they most certainly did, mate. You're talking every single doctor and pharmaceutical company,
certainly,
mainly the pharmaceutical companies being out of a job. Well, you know,
trillions,
multi-trillion-dollar organizations, you know, and you know the Cancer Council and all these. Organizations out there designed to make their money and, you know, sell more radiation to cure your radiation. Yeah. They weren't impressed.
So where was Rife when this was happening? What country was he living in?
I honestly can't tell you. I'm pretty sure he was an American inventor. He must have been. Yeah, I'm sure he was in America when he was designing the Rife machine.
Well, that's a good speculation. It's certainly technology of the time. It may not have been the actual basis of the offer that Tesla made. So this is the speculation that it was a...
I'm actually Googling a couple of things now. I've got the Wikipedia up for Royal Rife.
Go ahead.
And he was born in 1888 and died in 1971. And Tesla was developing Wardenclyffe and that around about 1920. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I think Royal Rife would have grown up and been like, he would have been 12 in 1900. So he just might have fed off Tesla's ideas at the time. It's purely speculation, but who do you follow back in those days, you know?
Well, the one thing that I found is stopping at this point and starting an intensive read of everything possible about both of their, Rife's life story would be how I would pursue this. Mm-hmm. You know, get all the information possible. Read absolutely everything because I found that really making the effort to turn over every stone,
nook and cranny and rock you can find.
Because
this is what I do with Tesla technology. Like, I literally try to put myself in the position of Tesla and say, right, he didn't have microelectronics, so I'm not building myself a solid state Tesla coil, you know, and starting off, you know, basically with the patents. And you've probably not come across, we did a video about a year ago now, which detailed exactly where everyone's going wrong building Tesla coils, because not a single person has built a Tesla coil or a apparatus for transmission of electrical energy off the patent. No one's even come close. They're a whole coil short.
And
it's even in picture form on the back page. It's even in picture on the back page showing you quite clearly you're missing a coil, yet no one's ever picked up on it. Because people don't read the patent. They just follow what everyone else on the internet is doing. And, you know, it all started with a little bit of misinformation, and that's where we are today.
I spent quite a bit of time exploring Tesla.
Yep.
And I think one of my major achievements is finally getting to the point where I could understand where the energy was coming from. Once I understood it was a electrical imbalance between stratospheric layers. Thanks, Bart. I have just had breakfast delivered.
Is he talking a potential difference?
Yeah, potential difference. And I thought, oh, good. Now 90% of the mystery is gone from that. I remember 14 years ago, I had heard about him. I'd heard about Tesla, but I hadn't had the chance to really spend time reading and 14 years ago, I did. I had an enormous amount of time. I had the beginnings of the internet. It was approximately 10 years old at that time, right?
Yep.
94 to 2000, approximately. It had some history. We had access to more information than we would ordinarily get from the media. You could select it. You could search it. And I started reading everything I could. And I got frustrated because you immediately ran out of the information then. For example, they didn't have any information about the foreign repositories of Tesla information. And they argued back and forth. Who got it? Everybody says the FBI got it. Well, Tesla had sent his nephew a huge amount of information before he died. Way before he died. So that's an important aspect to keep in mind. You know, the story still isn't straight on exactly what happened and who was involved, although there's very interesting little bits of information that pop up. So we still don't even know the real story of Tesla, Tesla's information, where it is currently, who's working on it, how long has it been hidden research, where is it currently in terms of state of the art, what have they done to refine it, if anything. And you would assume that just the weapons freaks in the military would have been delighted to have something like that to mess with, right? Hidden, you know, space beam weapons certainly falls in with what they were talking about when, who's that phony actor that we had for a president? Reagan. Yeah. Ronald Reagan, you know, back right. in those days with Star Wars, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, you know, the really interesting thing is, what are we going to be able to do in the future here about really bringing out the better technology that we have had supposedly since the 1950s that yeah. hasn't been worked on, that nobody does quite understand? The thing about Tesla that really impressed me in reading about him at this point was the fact that he would theorize, design, and manufacture prototypes that worked without changing the location of any of the ingredients as he assembled it. In other words, in his mind, he conceptualized a machine down to the rivets and built it, and it worked.
Yeah, yeah. He was very well noted for the statement, "It came to me in a flash of light." And he did. Right, he just, according to Tesla's word, it just flashed and, you know, bam, he could see exactly how a monopolar motor worked or, you know, and then he would take that image from his brain, go to the workbench, put the thing together, sit there and tune it in his mind, then make the adjustments on the machine and it'd just work.
Let me introduce one other idea. You know, we had a chance to study his brain before we really did study brains, and we really missed an opportunity. There was a man that had a unique, absolutely unique, concept, awareness is a better word, of what electricity, what were the three things he said to study? Vibration, frequency, what else? In a previous show that we had, somebody came up with a quotation from him describing the three things that he basically, that you would have to be aware of and develop in order to duplicate his thinking. Too bad we didn't have a chance to understand or go further. If you ever get any information that you want to share about insights into Tesla's thinking, I'd certainly really welcome it. Over.
Yeah, Billy, Cultus, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I was just letting you, you wanted the floor, so.
I had we only got about a minute left till the break here, but,
okay.
There was a question that came in on a, instant message. Was there any kind of rumors or anything to the effect that he said, he had alien intervention? And I guess we'll cover that after the break here, everyone. So we'll be right back. We got about 7 minutes, Cultus. So, all right, and welcome back, everyone. We're continuing on. This is Cancelic Ball on Sunday afternoons, Revolution Radio. I'm Stephen Roberts, and I still have Cultus Negrand, Billy Hayes, and SJ up in British Columbia. Before the break, we were discussing And I still want to put it out there for anyone in the listening audience that has just joined us, maybe. Cultus is an Australian researcher into Tesla technology, and his visa is coming up in about 17 days. And he wishes to stay here in America. He's been here for over 2.5 months now. I'll get to the question before we took the break there, Cultus. But what do you think about this vast country here of America?
Well, compared to Australia, the island that is a jail, I much more prefer it. You all fight for your freedoms, and you fight very strongly for your freedoms. Whereas in Australia, you know, when we have something taken off us, people just bend over and they let it be taken from them. You know,
take it up the rear end, then, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty much, mate. Pretty much. It is. It's a very, very sad state of affairs when it comes to that. You know, like.
Well, do you think it's just the? Do you think it just goes to conditioning, or do you think there's some other thing going on there?
I think it's conditioning and fear. Like they're honestly too afraid to lose anything that they've got.
Right.
You know, and that just I don't personally see why you should give up who you are and the things you like to do. You know, if you're not hurting anyone, why should you have to?
Exactly.
You know, relinquish any of your rights.
Exactly.
That just doesn't make any sense at all.
None at all.
So, you know, I mean, the one that stands most prominent to most Australians would be the current firearms laws in Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. They had a shooting down in Tasmania, you know, where some guy went nuts and killed a bunch of people. And, you know, I mean, I'm not taking away from those families at all. You know, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, people died and people, you know, people were hurt that day and people were saddened by that. And always, but one idiot did it. One, not 10 million people got up and grabbed their firearms and started shooting everyone like psychos. That never took place. So why should the entire populace of a country pay for the mistake of one person, or, you know, the mental instability, as they proved, the mental instability of one person.
Yeah. So have you been out to a range or out in the field and
I haven't been out and fired any firearms other than the airsoft gun that I went and bought myself, a little gas powered airsoft gun. I've had an absolute ball with that thing.
Okay.
But I have handled about a dozen different rifles since I've been here. And
wow.
You know, I grew up hunting with my father back in Australia, back before all this went down.
Okay.
You know, when things were a little more lax, and, you know, he could take me out into the bush and go rabbit hunting with a 22, and, you know, he'd spend my weekends whenever we went camping. You know, I'd sit there with a box of, you know, 10,000 little BB pellets and his air rifle, and sit there all weekend just you know, taking sight. Sorry?
Plinkin'.
Plinkin'?
Yeah, that's what we call it in the United States. Sitting there with a box full of bullets shooting things. It's called plinking.
Because the guy's plinking.
Plinking.
Yeah.
Plinking.
Because that's what it sounds like when you hit a can Ka-blink. Or a... Yep.
Yeah.
Plink
yep.
bottle.
Yep. Yep, no, that's, you know, I used to, that's all. You know, my father was very firearm safety conscious. Like, you know, even just with the air rifle, I copped a few smacks over the back of the head because, you know, I turned around with it, you know, at sort of crutch height as I turned around with it. And, you know, he'd just smack me over the back of the head and take it off me for half an hour and give me the lecture about, you know, always pointing it at the ground and, you know, never ever pointed at someone. And so I grew up very respectful of firearms, you know. I would never use a firearm against a fellow human being unless that fellow human being was coming at me with a firearm.
I wouldn't either.
Rival,
I wouldn't
know?
Either, yeah.
Oh, no, I would if it was necessary.
Decent, sane people wouldn't do that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. You know, like, so I grew up being very conscious of those things. Most Australians didn't. Because most people just didn't own firearms. You know, it was a few and far between thing. You know, the farmers owned firearms. If you lived in the city, you had no use for a firearm.
Certainly.
Well,
yeah.
That's understandable unless you like going out camping and hunting, or you just like going down the range and, you know,
Right.
Yeah. Keeping your skills up in case, you know, your country ever got invaded or, you know, like just needed to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
there is only 22 million people in Australia.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's, it's a vastly large country, but there's just not very many people.
The center's useless though.
Yeah.
It's all desert. So okay. It is inhospitable desert. Like, you know, where I was living there in Roxby Downs, that's, really inhospitable. Like, a couple of people have just gone randomly missing, and what has literally happened to them is they're driving along in their vehicles going from point A to point B, haven't drunk enough water, the heat's gotten to them, they've gone a little crazy, pulled over on the side of the road and gone looking for water, or just wandered off in a haze.
Right.
And then they've never been seen again.
Sure. Yeah, it wouldn't take but a couple of hours to die of heat exhaustion. And
I actually got very close to it myself one time up there, and it was just lucky. Like, I'm the sort of person who carries a knapsack with, you know, canned food and stuff in the back. I'm a four wheel drive and always carry spare water and all the rest of it.
Right.
And just the heat of the day, it became I left it really early in the morning to go yabbying, which is they're kind of like a shrimp, but fresh water.
Okay.
Yep. And they're probably sort of an inch across, and you know, four, five inches long. So they're, you know, good bit of meat on them.
Well, we probably call them prawns over here, but
prawns, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Crawfish,
yeah, kind of crawfish, go. Yeah, exactly. So I've gone off doing that real early in the morning. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. I left just as the sun was coming up. And, you know, it sort of started to get a little bit warm by about 11, 12 o'clock in the day. And I'm like, oh, you know, and I sort of started to get a little lightheaded. And I'm thinking, well, I'm drinking plenty of water and, you know, I'm behaving myself out here. I think, you know, but I think I better get going. And just as I'd probably covered about maybe 15 mile of my 60 mile journey back to town. I actually started to get like really, really drowsy and to the point where like things just were getting out of hand. And I literally pulled over, drowned myself in water that I had in the back of the van and, took that water barrel up into the front seat with me and, drove home constantly wetting myself and just using the cold water as air conditioning to keep myself cold because it was to the point where I was going to pass out. And had I have just thought I'll just pull over on the side of the road because that'll be okay. No, I would have passed out on the side of the road and cooked. So it was nothing other than needing to get home. So, you know, it's really inhospitable in the middle of Australia and it is a huge area. So the focal point of the population of Australia is around the coastlines. So, you know, it's a very small area that's actually habitable. The rest of it, you've got no real chance to actually live and survive out there unless you're going to hide inside in the air conditioning all the time. Yeah, so.
Exactly. Yeah.
How's the water out there?
In Roxby Downs, they pipeline it down from the top of Australia from the Artesian Basin, and it's so full of salt that they try and counteract that with chlorine. And it's literally the most toxic water I've ever put in my system. I got so ill up there. I ended up needing to buy and this was a very specific brand and literally the only thing that was contained inside that box was hydrogen and oxygen. It was just H2O. No heavy metals, no sulfurs, no chlorine, no nothing. This was just pure water. And that was actually the most healthiest I'd felt in quite a while drinking that water.
Well, you know, a lot of those refined waters don't have a lot of the helpful trace minerals that a body needs.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful about drinking really distilled water, eh?
Yeah.
Purified water. So I'm
very big on eating meats and vegetables and really healthy food, so it's kind of a bit of a toss up there, but there's a lot in my food diet that would kind of allow me to drink a little bit more distilled water than the average person. So,
good. So you're hip to taking salt tablets and having salt as part of your prevention?
Not salt tablets, but I eat plenty of salt on my potatoes and things like, you know. I like a good bit of salt on my food. I like real, like I'm a smoker, so I don't have many taste buds left. So kind of goes hand in hand that I want something to brighten up my meal.
Well, have you explored your other health situations? Do you have, for example, diabetes?
No.
Have you ever tested for it?
No, but I don't have highs and lows. I don't generally crave sugar. So I'd be pretty doubtful if I had, if I had diabetes. I'm a very skinny, other than the fibromyalgia, I'm actually very, very like athletically built and healthy. Like
active.
It's just the muscular pains that
oh,
really
yeah.
hold back. So other than that, and associated, IBS, cause, playing around with your, like the tensioning of the muscles and stuff around the stomach all yeah. the time make my stomach upset. But other than that, I'm physically very healthy. So.
Well, I have MS, so I have a similar, heavy influence determining
yep.
my path, right?
Yep. Yep.
So, we can die together and we can observe ourselves dying. And,
yeah. And I've got
the research on it.
Say yes,
yeah,
Jay.
For sure.
SJ, I've got the rheumatoid, so I'm right up there with the both of you.
By the way, Stephen, you do a wonderful show, and thank you for including me. Well,
yeah.
thank you for including me. Always like to talk with brilliant people. It's how I stay alive.
Yeah,
it's how I keep my brain going. I've got six areas in it the size of carrots that don't communicate with me anymore.
Yeah, yeah, you happen to mention that.
Yeah, I sure. just went in for... the most recent MRI yesterday. So I'll get the computer program. Well, I'll get the computer readout and I can read it with Linux, using the video program they have. God, I've forgotten the name of it too. And it's one of my favorite, aspects of Linux, but I can see it and I can also use the different filters that they have nowadays for doing an MRI. Man, is it amazing what you can do with these filters to look at various aspects of meat, your flesh, your own body. Pretty interesting stuff.
Have you looked into I believe it's Germany, has a stem cell research program going on for people with MS?
Well, you know, there's a couple things in the future. They say if you can live 10 more years, you'll be able to live forever.
Right.
And it was 15 a little while ago.
Yeah.
So who knows what we're going to be in another 10 years, assuming that we're still here. I think stem cell is one. I think also what I'm hoping is they use nanobots, organic or mechanical, to actually strip radiation out of children's bodies so that they can have clean DNA or restored DNA. And that's another field of science that's going to grow, is restoring a person's DNA once it's been altered by radioactive poisoning.
Okay.
Which is currently what we're going through. And you notice how little the commercial mainstream press is talking about radiation. In Canada, they are starting to see major changes in the wildlife, the ocean life specifically. We've had a major die-off of mussels, for example, in British Columbia within the last month,
right.
last couple of weeks, actually. And they're starting to try, they're looking at that. They're talking about increased carbon dioxide levels in the ocean, changing the way that these animals survive. And apparently the higher amounts of carbon dioxide currently are killing off these animals because it's so out of control. It's such a large increase in one of their, the ingredients of their biosphere that they're dying. So they still aren't mentioning or aware of how much radiation is actually out there influencing all of this biota. Over.
Yeah, SJ. I forgot to, after the break, I'll normally, say that, well, you know, Revolution Radio is listener supported. So, everyone, please, if they can, go out and hit the donate button. And I also wanted to pop in the Revolution Radio chat. Cultus has a GoFundMe site, and he's got a few other sites. When I, after we talk about this GoFundMe, maybe we can talk about getting some funding for Cultus. We would sure like to keep him here in the country.
Well, Cultus, if you get a chance, pop up here into BC I live about 60 miles out of Vancouver. But pop up here and spend a weekend with me. You can stay in my trailer. I've got a cute little trailer we keep out in the front yard that we usually travel during the summer in. You're certainly welcome to bunk up there for a weekend. Jeez. And come on up and talk to me about immigration. I still have a lot of the paperwork.
Okay.
I still have the contact information for the person that helped me immigrate. You could probably get by with less than $1,000 to actually do the paperwork for Canadian immigration.
Right.
And there's all kinds of little ins and outs. Like the easiest way is to go over, you know, with your $250,000, which gives you a certain amount of legitimacy in terms of immigration Canada. And you could also end up with a job offer, which is another thing that holds some weight with Canada immigration. But basically, I could give you some lists and some contacts, and we'd be glad to do it if you get a chance to zip up here. You got a pencil?
I do.
Well, even better yet, I'll write my phone number in the chat PM.
Yep.
And feel free to call me anytime.
Cool. That sounds like a plan, right?
Yeah, Cultus, back to the question before we had the break there. There was somebody that posed a, I guess it was, I don't know if it's a conspiracy or not, but I think there's a claim out there that Tesla claimed he was getting some outer worldly help with his research in that.
Tesla never claimed that.
No.
What he said was, now I won't be able to remember the exact wording of it, but it was basically along the lines of that all the knowledge of the universe is centralized and he has worked out how to tap into that centralized knowledge. So basically saying that all of our brains are interconnected and all the brains that exist in the universe are interconnected and that
I believe that too.
Hook into this knowledge bank and be able to take from that knowledge bank. But he wasn't able to control it or speak with it directly. He was just able to take little tidbits from it.
Certainly, certainly.
You know, which would go hand in hand with flashes of light and full working design specs for a new device that no one had ever seen before in the entire existence of mankind.
Certainly.
And he'd been able to slap it together on the bench. So, you know, I'll leave nothing out, you know, and call him anything there because I just, that as far-fetched as it might seem, there may very well have been something like that. So,
well, for centuries, anybody that displayed that kind of insight into the nebulous intellects that surround us,
they were drawn and cornered, weren't they?
Well, they were basically ostracized.
Yeah,
you know, they were considered insane. They were considered possessed by the devil. They were considered to be needful of separation, seclusion, you know, discrimination of a sort, mental instead of racial. So it's just becoming, we're just getting to the point where people can think outside the bell curve and not be jailed or incarcerated because of it. I think what we need is we need to develop databases with the best view of reality that we can come up with. For example, in terms of Tesla, it would be wonderful, in addition to the other Tesla sites out there, to continue to aggregate site information. How do you go and find out and read about this aspect of Tesla? How do you read about what it was like when he was a kid? How do you read what it was like when he was just before he died, what he was thinking? See, all of those things we need to have available for people doing research so that they can find them a little bit quicker.
Well, SJ, the problem is, how do you find the truth? That's what you're, I think maybe that's what you're trying to allude to.
Well, I think it's a real challenge in the 21st century. How do we determine, how do we form a consensus even of what we think is the truth? I mean, that's one step further. Let's go for that. I mean, maybe we will never know ultimately what exactly was said and done, but the closer we can creep up to it, the better basis we have for making any speculations about who he was, what he was doing, where he was going, what he thought. And that's what I'm intrigued about. What a unique and interesting person, eh? Here's a man that could think about electricity in a way that I can't. And I've tried all my life, too. But he just had that one thing, you know, people are naturals. Basketball, baseball, highlight, chess, mathematics. We have our innocent, what do we call them? Our savants.
Savants, yeah.
Yeah, our genius savants that can't talk to you ordinarily because of the way their mind works.
Can't even be around people a lot of time, yeah.
Right on. I'll tell you, I worked with autistic kids for quite a while and try to, whenever I see them out in the wild, I always try to make an effort to open up a contact with them, you know, by looking at them or talking to them. The best way, or one of the ways that I found of getting through an autistic child, was to sit next to them and match their breathing. And that gets their attention sometimes. Isn't that interesting?
Certainly, yeah, because their mind works a little bit differently, and they, who knows, they might be paying attention to that.
Yeah, they were aware of things at a different space. Yep. So learning how to access these, learning how to live with each other, talking about more about what we have in common instead of the corporate press's idea of what's important. You know, those are the things that we can change internally that they can't do a damn thing about. And it's where our real freedom is and our ability to think. I wonder if we're going to go through a really highly repressive form of U.S. government in the next 20 years.
You mean even more so now than what it is?
It's pretty scary now. I've been watching it develop for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
I'm 64 years old. I'll be 65 this September. It can go much further. What I'm looking at is the things that are modifying it, that are changing it, that are resisting it. Because those are the real marks of independent thinking that are alive and well in the United States. And we've got a fair amount of that. I haven't found the kind of evil going through my travels in the United States. Usually I found at least courtesy, some kindness.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't always encounter antagonistic people.
Right.
The majority of people I met were kind and would have helped you out if you asked.
Yep.
So I always keep that in mind when I'm being told how awful and evil and corrupt America is. Not that I haven't seen examples of that, but it's not usually what you encounter. It's abnormal. It's,
well, you know, it's not even close to being a valid argument, not for any country to place the citizens in the same kind of a box that their government is. You know, just because I'm an American, that doesn't mean I want to go over to Iran or Syria and blow it up like our government does.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that the average Joe that's in Syria or Iran wants to blow us up. I think that the majority of people in the world are mostly concerned about their personal lives and their families, and it goes from there outward. One of the things that I found, I was writing about the Philippines. I have a wonderful novel set in the Philippines, and one of the things that I realized when I was doing the research is that American businessmen went over there quite a bit from the 50s on without having any comprehension of how important doing business in terms of doing business with families was. They tended to ignore one of the most crucial relationships in business in the Middle East when they went over there, especially in the Philippines, which is not exactly the Middle East. It's more the Pacific. But, you know, the American concept of family has been sadly decreasing. Their ability to deal with it, think about it, engineer it into their economic schemes. And that lack of it has always impressed me as one of the major vulnerabilities of American business. And it still is. You know, these guys, in my opinion, are teetering on the edge of a cliff, yelling at the top of their lungs, "We are supreme, we don't make mistakes," and looking down and seeing the crack getting wider on the little piece of out over the depths of the canyon. You know, they're hoovering. They're still in what I call the coyote stage. Remember the coyote in the Roadrunner cartoons?
Yes. Right.
They're the coyote just before you hear that.
The boom. Yeah.
Yeah. A little poof. I always liked it because they were restrained with their explosions, you know. That little poof was much more realistic.
Yeah.
A little teeny noise heard from the top of the cliff as the body makes an impact on the ground.
How you doing out there, Billy? Are you weathering that storm out there?
It's crazy out here. I'm trying to chase the cows around, and they won't go the right direction.
Don't blame them. Well, you've got possible, Billy, you've got possible hail the size of baseballs heading towards you, right?
Yep, they're out here. It's just south of me. I can see the green clouds coming.
Good luck with your cows.
So, Coltis, what do you think? I know you have $20,000 on your GoFundMe for a goal,
yeah.
But what do you think it would take to? What do you think it would take to get you a visa in America?
Well, not that
college,
much.
College or a job?
College yeah. Job or a wife? Yeah. Well, just to be funny.
Well, you know, the third is a whole lot easier than what the other two are.
Sorry?
Not necessarily. No, they're still going to make you jump through quite a few loops.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, they want to make sure that you're not doing this for that reason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
But still, you know, here's the thing. If there is so much more communication, information available as you go into North America, it's worth doing, period. And the people are good. You know, I don't think Americans are evil at all.
No,
I think they're usually kind. They're usually pretty kind and considerate. They certainly are areas of the United States and individuals that should be avoided. Like
yeah.
They were a ticking time bomb.
Exactly. Like the big cities, the inner cities. Is that what you mean, SJ?
Yeah. I mean, you can't just drop in on people that have been attacked all their lives.
Right.
The attacks, of course, have been denied and oppressed. They don't want to give them any legitimate reason for being antagonistic when they have a multiple number of reasons to be antagonistic. You can't go into those areas without being a part of them.
I haven't come across anyone bad since I've been here. I do have a habit of surrounding myself with only good people, but even given that, like, you know, you generally find one numbnut on the street every now and then. I haven't come across anyone bad, you know, and like I go out, you know, with Shannon and her family, you know, they might take me out for dinner, and your waiting staff are so polite. Like,
oh yeah,
ridiculously polite. Like, I'm in Australia, you know, you think about it. Right? When I'm in Australia and I order food to start with, a steak meal will cost me like $27. Okay. I can get it for $7 here. Okay. Then the lady serving my food to me just about wants to throw it at me because she's just had a crap day and doesn't like her job and wishes she wasn't there. All right.
Well, there's plenty of lives. There's plenty of lives like that in the United States, but
I haven't come across
you've
it.
Had the good fortune of not encountering a steady diet of it. So what you're saying basically is you feel more comfortable here, and it's if nothing else, it's a good break. It's unusual enough to be intriguing and graceful,
yeah.
At least what you've
it's
encountered.
It's beautiful to be here, like as opposed to where I've come from. Everyone is nicer. Like, everyone has been nicer. Everyone is more accepting. When it comes to my research, I have an abundance of materials that I can source here in the US that I've got not even a hope of finding in Australia. You know, the people who I want to work with on my research are all here in the States. There is no one in Australia, you know.
I would question that in terms of how extensive have been your efforts to accomplish those kinds of relationships, but they're not casually available to you.
Well,
right?
Yes and no. I'm definitely a bit of a social bug, and I get myself out there, you know.
Good.
The people who I have come in contact with in Australia are more tradespeople and things like that who, while supportive, one, don't really want to get into it themselves, don't have the time, you know, things sort of that kind of a nature where, you know, there's just not a good working relationship. Everyone who I have come across is into free energy. They have their own ideas and they're setting them and they don't want to even consider somebody else's theory. Whereas over here, the guys who I know over here, they're all open. We'll go through 10 different projects in a day and we'll all brainstorm and we'll all put into each other's projects.
Right. You know, I saw a need.
See it from the other side.
You know, as I was growing up, I saw a need for generalists that had enough specific specialist knowledge to be able to hook up specialists in different fields so that they could get that crossing of information, that access to another mind thinking similarly.
Yeah.
Just for the gems that they didn't think would happen in a normal conversation that do occur when you have an open ended really, when you have people around that are really curious about how the universe works, there seems to be like this wonderful exchange of little bits of information to complete all these other bits of thinking.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think the internet has finally given us a table big enough to dump all of the jigs, the several billion, 7 billion almost, jigsaw pieces on the table so we can start putting them together so we can form a complete picture.
Unfortunately, when it comes to research, though, there is only so much that can be done over the internet, and that's the struggle we found. Like, I have a brains trust, you know, the 10 odd guys that we have on the Knights of the Round Table, which is our radio show on Shaziz Radio.
We should post that and a link to it for those of us that want to experiment by listening to it.
Certainly.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Do you think he'd want to come in for a little bit there, Occultist?
I don't think he's around at the moment. He's got all his kids came over for Mother's Day. They all live sparsely away. So you know he'll enjoy that time with them at the moment, I'd say. But
in the future,
we most certainly you'll be able to get Shizzix on here. I don't see any reason why not.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so we have our 3-hour show once a week, but then after we get off from there, we spend the whole week with each other working on different ideas. And one of the ideas we're actually coming up with at the moment is if it can be arranged, is to build a research facility in Shaziz's neighborhood that will not only serve the purpose of being a research facility, but also to have people accommodated when they come, so that, you know, when it doesn't matter who, so long as they're involved in alternative energy research, that they'll be able to come stay and work on their devices with us, the Brains Trust, for, you know, any sort of length of time. So,
well, you know what commonly destroys those is fire. Make sure you have plenty of fireproof storage around for your research materials and your information. Because when they want to smoke you out, your building suddenly is burning like crazy, right?
Yeah. I hear you. That's okay. Yep. We'll work on that. I'll add that to the giant list that we're growing right now of all the things that we're going to require. So that's our million-dollar project if ever we get it squared away. So,
boy, would I like to win one of these? You know, we get these jumbo lotteries going here in BC. Several have gone over 50 million. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I know why I don't win these, because somebody out there goes, "Oh, for God's sakes, don't let that dude win $50 million."
Yeah, just look what would happen.
Oh shit!
Save the planet. It's amazing what could be done off such a small amount of money, I'm telling you, mate.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much. It just takes the drive and the dedication and the right heart.
Say yes, Jay. You know, it's always the one that you never really care to win them things is the one that wins the big $150 million
I would drive around the United States visiting the people I've met that I've never gotten a chance to see face to face. And I'd love to go and visit them for a week and say goodbye. And when they walk inside, they find an envelope with all this nice, crisp,
sweet, wouldn't it?
Crisp energy laying on the table with a note that says, I think this will help you change your life significantly from what it is currently. Enjoy yourself.
Build just a studio.
Just pay it forward and change somebody's life completely forever.
Every human
sense of fulfillment from that just be absolutely extraordinary?
Oh, God, it'd be a rocket. Yeah, and think of all those lives. You know, here's this person that's brilliant, sweet, kind, intelligent. You know, the kind of person you want to see do well and live forever because they're such a good trip to have in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
And yet they're crippling along. Eating toward the end of the month on $5 a day budgets, if that. And wouldn't it be just beautiful to go, oh, here, you don't have to worry about working the rest of your life. Enjoy it. Take the next period of your life and do something that's creative.
Yep.
That'd be such a great use of money compared to what we're using money for now currently. You know, the accumulation of wealth has all these serious psychological and financial aspects to it. We shouldn't allow it, actually. I'm wondering how long it's going to be before we have enough consensus that people are going to start thinking in terms of inherited wealth and its detrimental aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And inherited control. Family controls of industries and economics it has weakness. It has all kinds of vulnerabilities that just make us go further out into this unknowing attempted global suicide that we're in the middle of without really being aware and thinking of it or talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your average guy in the street. One of the things I've learned when I got the chance to read at least all of the English articles coming out of a country was how to realize that most of those people felt about the same way I did. We weren't terribly antagonistic. What we really wanted to do is make stuff that worked and be able to enjoy eating with our families and concentrate on the health around us, right?
Yep.
Everybody else's. Thinking outside of our own box, being generous. And those are the things that we will develop as we segue into a sane way of living on this planet. See, that's what we're involved with. We're trying to come up with a sane way of living on this planet so that we can go beyond the vicious circle that's opening out in front of us currently.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, Star Trek had the right idea, didn't it?
Right on.
Yeah. Just to live and do what you do for the betterment of humanity.
Oh, why not?
Instead of making the one bloke up the top as rich as you can possibly make him, how about we make everyone equal?
Well, at least give them opportunities to be themselves without chaining them down to oppressive economics. I don't even
really believe in like doing that as per se. I think we should all start out even. You know, you come into life, you get $2 million, spend it how you please. Yeah, you know, it's given to you on your actual birthday, and it's sat there to mature.
It has.
And, you know, I mean, that's just a random put it out there idea. That's not actually.
Now we're actually worth billions, cultists, and we can't even, some people have found out ways how to draw from it, but I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of pitfalls in those theories. There have been people that have, that say they have done that. I'd like to have a little bit more proof and know one personally myself. It'd be an interesting turnabout if there really was a potential for it. I think we're going to have to work outside of all of those erected frameworks of behavior in society in order to get the kind that we need.
Yeah.
It's moving too slow to be able to prevent. We're going to have to go through a whole bunch of stuff because we don't know that we have to do something else.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say all the good ideas have been great ideas in the beginning until someone's got in there and bastardized it.
That too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're in the process of that, and that's probably the most legitimate reason for any of us to be alive is that we are making an effort to educate.
Yeah.
To plant You know, what we are is we're a bunch of idea farmers, I think, at best. And what we do is we plant seedlings and hope that they are going to blossom and sprout and increase and provide food for intellects that are starving.
Yeah, food for thought.
Right, just in conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you, if we can change one person in a beneficial way by example, then we will have completely legitimized our existence in this plane of reality, in my opinion.
That sounds fair enough.
It sounds good.
Yeah. If you want to change the world, change one person's world, you still change the world, their world.
You
certainly
have.
Know, the only person that can change a person is themselves, ordinarily.
Absolutely, yeah.
You can call on somebody else. You can hustle somebody else. You can lie to somebody else. But to actually change them for the better, takes twice.
Everything okay there, Billy?
Billy's trying to talk again with a busted mic.
Billy. I think so. What's up, Billy?
Sound like a scanner in the background there.
Mm.
Well, I got so many things going on right now. I've got a funnel cloud out here in front of you, so if you look.
Oh, baby.
Oh, what?
What size?
It's not on the ground yet. Don't know. It's just a wedge. It's getting rain wrapped right now, so I don't know. It's going crazy out here. What I wanted to ask was, what type of inventions you got there, Cultus?
Sorry, what type of inventions have I got?
Yeah.
Well, I've pretty much worked on everything from Tesla coils to Slayer exciters, and at the moment I'm working on an atmospheric motor that'll run on atmospheric electricity, static electricity from the sky. Worked on HHO, so hydrogen as a fuel.
Cultus, I wanted to ask you and SJ, you ever thought of looking into this Stanley Meyer water fuel cell?
HHO. Yeah,
oh, is it? Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep. But the reason why I diverted my attention away from that, and the only reason why I diverted my attention away from that, is because Russ Grease, RWG Research, is well on the ball there with that. So, and I know him personally. I know he's a good bloke, and he is working quite hard to try and replicate that in its finest form. So his fabrication skills are amazing, and if anyone can do that specific research any justice, it'll be him. So
good.
Yeah, you all should check out Russ if you don't already know who he is. It's rwgresearch.com. He's done some fantastic work.
How far is he getting?
Well, he's basically remanufacturing the entire patent, and has been for the last couple of years, just off junk. But he's managed to secure himself some funding along the way, and he got some pretty fantastic parts made. And now he's currently employed doing this work down in I believe California.
Excellent.
with I can get a name, Quantum Gravity Research.
Excellent.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Quantum Gravity Research.
Well, you know, I wonder how much everybody thinking about him, even with a mention like this, a non-specific or not very specific mention, I wonder how much all these additional people going, right on, I hope he makes it.
Yeah, I hope a lot of people are, because like you're talking about going out, filling your car up with water and driving around as much as you like. So,
and not polluting anything.
Yeah, and okay, so the system is, you know, water goes in the tank, it gets broken down into its two nuclei, which is hydrogen and oxygen. That gets recombined by an explosion inside your combustion chamber of your engine, and its exhaust is water.
Yep.
So I don't think it gets any more simpler than that for non-polluting. Water in, water out.
How is he converting it to oxygen and hydrogen?
Well, it's with the Stanley Meyer patent, which is high frequency, I believe, high frequency, high voltage, high frequency lasers, high frequency radio waves, and I think there's another one thrown in there as well. So he's basically bombarding it with different frequencies.
How did he get a hold of that patent?
It's widely available. The same as I was explaining about the Tesla's apparatus for transmission of electrical energy.
Okay.
The patent shows one very specific device. That device has three coils on it and not a pancake coil inside. Yet everyone goes, oh, I'm going to study Tesla's research. And they build themselves a Tesla coil and they've got a pancake coil and two coils. What are you doing? That's not what the patent is.
How is his energy in versus energy out ratio currently?
I couldn't honestly tell you.
Now, that'd be really interesting to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know he's most likely, he's been doing this for many years, as I said, just bit by bit. And as far as I know, he has built a couple of a lot of the components, but he is not there as in a working replication of Stan Meyer's work, which is what he's aiming for, a true replication.
Mm-hmm.
The same as myself with the Tesla radiant
electrical
energy
devices. Yeah. How many other – is there a list of all of the different ideas that Tesla either patented or wrote about? Is there a list of these? Because I've only heard basically 8 or 9 –
I've got a binder which contains most of his electrical apparatuses, but at the end of the day, he patented something like 560 different devices in his lifetime. Like it was some absolutely ridiculous amount. So
SJ,
yes, sir.
Yeah, we only got about 2 minutes left here, about 2.5.
Oh, too bad. Anyways, what a good conversation.
Unless Colton wants to hang on, it's totally up to him. We're going to be continuing on, Cultist. So,
okay,
we're going to bring somebody else up on that wants to do some more stuff with Billy. And I'm sure, I don't know if SJ will want to stay on with Greg also, but,
Oh, absolutely. If you'd like me to, I'd be delighted.
Sure. Sure.
Well, no, I do have other engagements.
That's quite okay.
I do want to talk with you boys more and in the future. So, okay.
Have you guys connected on Skype yet?
I have SJ's phone number here in my hot little hand. He'll be getting a phone call from me before I leave the States.
Sure.
I had a bit of a look into the whole becoming a resident of Canada. Again, they're very similar to the US. I need a skill that no one else can fulfill, or a skill that they require.
So, or a job offer.
A job offer, yeah. So if I can get a job offer, that might be a good way around it.
I'm sure we could come up with something. How many do you want to learn how to be a shipwright?
A witch, sorry?
Well, I can hire you if you're a shipwright.
What's a shipwright, mate?
Yeah, what's a shipwright?
Somebody who can build a boat from a drawing.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't.
Well, talk
we
about
don't
it.
Have to tell them that. Do we?
Well, the idea is this.
I'll pay you to pay me, and I'll pay the tax.
Huh? Yeah. Easily. Here's the thing. You might have to stretch the definition of what you're doing a little bit in order to pull it off, but you're certainly going to be in the company of thousands of people doing that in Canada currently.
Okay. Yep.
That's the way it works. Mainly what you need is somebody who gives a shit.
Yeah.
Pardon the language.
Nah, you're fine.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, Cultist.
No worries, mate. I hope I've answered all your questions. I hope you got a clear understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's my music there, so we'll be right back after the break, everyone. And thank you, Cultist.
No worries. Thanks for having me, mate.